Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful first Sunday in 2024. Here we are, January 7th, first Sunday of Epiphany, also the baptism of our Lord. So welcome to Grace. Good to see you all here. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, today, you can see we're set up to have Holy Communion. And we invite all who confess Christ as their Savior, sixth grade and above, to partake in the sacrament of Holy Communion. This is not Grace's altar, it's the Lord's altar, and it's His supper. And if you confess Him, we invite you to come. So today at 11 a.m., right after this service, there's food and refreshments in the fellowship hall. And I saw a lot of nice refreshments come through. Some really good food, so I hope you can stay. I don't think you'll go hungry at all. Monday and Tuesday, 9 a.m., the Grace Quilters meet in the fellowship hall. And then Tuesday, 6 p.m., the Grace Council meets in the chapel room. And then Wednesday, we're back to our normal schedules here. So Wednesday, 8 a.m., we have our Bible study. We're working through the book of Isaiah right now, a lot of fun. And then we take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets after that. So if you have a prayer request, there should be some prayer cards in the pews. Feel free to fill that out, put it in the collection plate, and it will be prayed for. And then also Wednesday at 11 a.m., I'm going to be entertaining the Pelican Rapids Ministerial here. So I'll get some pizzas, and I'll feed them, and we'll have our meeting. So that's what's going on here. So maybe if the quilters aren't done, you can find something for them to do. Okay, some upcoming events. We look out to next Sunday, January 14th, the second Sunday after Epiphany. We have Sunday school, confirmation, and adult study at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 a.m. worship, and then food and fellowship, as always, after church. Sunday, January 28th, 11 a.m., is our annual business meeting. So that will be held in the sanctuary immediately following the worship service. We won't leave. We'll just stay. And then after that, we're going to have a potluck, a fellowship meal. So that's always exciting. So if you're not a part of the meeting, feel free to go out, have a cup of coffee. Usually these meetings don't last long. And then you can have fun with the potluck with everybody else. So all right, Wednesday, February 14th. We know it's Valentine's Day. It's also my youngest daughter's birthday. But it's also Ash Wednesday. And we begin our Lenten journey together, and we start with food and fellowship. We start with our soup and sandwich. So soup and sandwich will be served from 5:30 to 6:30, and then Amy and I will put together a half-hour service. There'll be some music. Ash Wednesday, of course, we'll do the imposition of the ashes, but it's time to start thinking about if your group wants to serve a soup and sandwich. The sign-up sheet is out there. I think the council usually takes the first Sunday. Is that correct? Nobody knows. Figure it out. All right. But I know there's various groups in the church, and I know the Grace men usually serve one. And I remember the first year they did that, one of the ladies brought a sack lunch. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, we know who it is. But anyway, it was fun. I actually had to scale them back. They were turning it into a banquet. I said, this is soup and sandwich, guys. So anyway, it's time to start thinking about that. If your group likes to serve, the sign-up sheet is back there in the fellowship hall. And I love the Lenten season. So we'll do Ash Wednesday, and then the following Wednesday, I'll start my First Communion instruction after that. All right, there's some service opportunities coming up. If you want to serve, of course, Sunday greeters, feed the Wednesday night youth group. There's a sign-up sheet for that. Food shelf donations out in the foyer. Serve for Sunday fellowship. You don't have to bring food, just help serve it, maybe help clean up. That's always, and then, of course, soup and sandwich, and then we also, as we look forward to the annual meeting, you know, we're thinking about boards and councils, so here's an opportunity to serve. If you're asked to be on a board or to serve on the council, think about that. We are a volunteer organization, and it takes a village. It takes a lot of different people to make this place run. So if you have an annual report for the annual meeting, you should get that in to the office by about Thursday. So Mary's putting together the annual meeting brochure. So, all right, our January Mission of the Month is Chris Nelson Medical Treatment. Chris is a member here, and he's just had a real kind of expansive medical thing that's been going on, and we want to just support him and help him with all of the medical expenses. And finally, a thank you to everyone who brought food and served our fellowship last Sunday. Any other announcements before we get started? Yes, Jeanette. Okay, if you didn't pick that up, if you want a poinsettia, whether you bought one or not, now's the Sunday. There's plastic coverings behind this wall over here, and so, they'll end up in the trash if you don't. So adopt a poinsettia. So, all right, let's turn the corner into our worship service proper. We open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
This morning, and I'm going to invite you to join in our opening song of worship, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you. is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders, the Lord over the many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Let us pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and heal us by your Spirit, that we may rest in your finished work and follow you in faith and trust in your protection. Lord, in your mercy. I'll ask any praise singers who wish to join me up front as we turn to the hymn titled Word of God Come Down to Earth. It's hymn number 716 in the blue hymnal or essay on the screens.
Forgiveness. Join me in the confession of our sin, but also hearing of God's proclamation of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's word of promise, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word of promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It is my great joy and privilege to proclaim to you this morning that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you this morning.
Our first reading today comes from Genesis 1:1, 1-5. The creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 6, 1-11. Baptized into Christ. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may be abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to be nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For no one has died who has died has been set free from sin. For now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Here ends the word of the Lord. Let us pray. We pray for those who inflict in affliction. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, protect us, O Lord, from distrust of your fatherly care. When we become anxious about our earthly needs, and direct us anew to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in your love, you have given us gifts which our ancestors neither knew nor dreamed of. Grant that we may not be so occupied with material things that we forget the eternal treasures you have gifted us with in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good words in the lectionary this Sunday as we heard God's promises to us. Well, it's about halftime in our service, so let's stand up, stretch our legs, and maybe extend some greetings to your neighbors while you're at it. Message just for you. Come on up. All right. Come on up. I'll take the lid off of this. Well, today is the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus' baptism. Did you know Jesus was baptized?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what starts our journey now. Through Epiphany, where we get to realize just what important things Jesus did for us. And so I stopped by the wood stove this morning, and I got some ashes out of here and some charcoal. And if I put my hand in here, what's going to happen? Oh, it's going to get dirty, isn't it? Yeah. So, I know. So we'll see. Okay, so I got a dirty hand here. Anybody want me to touch them? No, no. So how am I going to get this clean? Well, first I gotta get some soap. So I need a clean hand to help me, don't I? So the clean hand is gonna get all involved here with the dirty hand. And now look, both hands are kind of dirty, aren't they? That's what happens. That's what happened when Jesus was baptized. People were getting baptized in the Jordan River, and they were confessing their sins. And then Jesus said, I want to be baptized too. So he was the clean hand that came down. And then look, both hands go into the water. And so they both come up clean, don't they? So that's what happened when Jesus was baptized. He connected with us. Jesus wasn't a sinner. He never sinned once, did he? But he went down into that water, and connected with our sins. So then, well, you want to hold this up for me, Finn? Hold that up real high so everybody can see it. So on the cross, he took our sins that he connected with, and he died for our sins. And so now we're clean, okay? So Jesus was the clean hand that washed the dirty hand, okay? So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you weren't afraid to identify with us. You stepped down into our dirty baptismal water. You took our sins, and you took them to the cross, and you washed us clean. And we praise you for that kind of love. Amen. All right, thank you, kids, for coming up. Let's give them a hand, shall we? Thank you, kids. As we come before God's word this morning, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is spirit. And we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. Amen and amen. Well, the title of today's message is One of Us. And I think you probably can make sense out of that title after the children's sermon. Jesus connects with us. So let me explain this by way of a human illustration. Born in 1840, Father Joseph Damien was a Catholic priest from Belgium. He is best known for his missionary work in Hawaii. Now, before we get any ideas about how nice it would be to serve the Lord in Hawaii, especially it's the first Sunday of January in Minnesota, listen carefully to what Father Damien did. In 1863, Father Damien sailed as a missionary to Hawaii, and upon his arrival, he discovered that one of these beautiful islands, on a remote part of the island of Molokai, separated from the rest of the island by a steep mountain range, was a group of people living with the nightmare disease of leprosy. It was a leper colony. Father Damien learned that when anyone on the islands contracted leprosy, they were immediately taken to the leper colony, dropped off, and left. There, in the loneliness and isolation, these lepers would scratch out a meager and miserable existence. Not only did they struggle with their debilitating disease and filth and poverty, but did so without any support from family, alone, desperate. Seeing the plight of these poor souls, Father Damien volunteered to go to the leper colony. And it was there that he found his life's calling. Although church authorities had originally planned for a priest to be rotated through the leper colony every 6 months, it was at Father Damien's request and the leper's request that he was allowed to stay at the colony permanently. His role was not limited to being a priest. He dressed wounds, cooked food, constructed living shelters, built coffins, and dug graves. A biographer, John Stott, wrote this about Father Damien. Father Damien buried their dead. He brought them hygiene. He built churches and chapels, cleaned their water supply, improved their homes and their hospital, constructed an orphanage, trained a choir, and served as their teacher, carpenter, mason, priest, and friend. This selfless ministry continued for 16 years until one Sunday morning in 1885, during church worship, the congregation was stunned when he began his sermon with the words, "We lepers," indicating that he had contracted the disease himself. He died 4 years later on Molokai in 1889. Today in our gospel text, we will see another missionary. We would say the most ultimate of missionaries, Jesus Christ. He came from his heavenly glory to this less than paradise of a world. He came to us in our poverty, in our spiritual leprosy, trapped by the debilitating and terminal disease of sin and death. Lepers of a different stripe, but all terminal, destined to suffer from the infection of sin in the human race, destined to die. but he came. He came and connected with us. We'll hear about this in our gospel text for this Sunday of the baptism of our Lord from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Today we collectively marvel at our Lord Jesus, our ultimate missionary, who, like Father Damien, entered into our world and in doing so contracted our disease. But unlike Father Damien, who tried to avoid contracting leprosy, Jesus stepped down into the waters of the Jordan River that day for the sole purpose of taking our disease, our sin, upon himself. There in that water, as people came to John confessing their sins and were washed by him, looking forward to the one who John promised, that sacrificial lamb to come, that Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Transference. Transference is a key concept here. In the same way that an Old Testament believer would bring a lamb to the temple, would lay his hands on that animal and confess his sins over it and transfer the sin upon that animal, and then the animal would be killed in the worshiper's place, so Jesus, by stepping down into this particular baptismal water, had our human sin transferred upon him. But the similarity goes on. For in the same way that that lamb was then sacrificed as a substitute for the sinner, so Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross in our place with our sins upon him. And by doing this, he brought healing and life to us. Those who were destined to die, all of a sudden, were made alive. Yet, unlike that sacrificial lamb, no one dragged Jesus to his death, but he came of his own willingness with the full support of the Holy Trinity. As we saw in his baptism, the Spirit of God, the dove, descending upon him, and God the Father speaking from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. As Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Trinity applauded him. God the Spirit came down upon him, anointing and empowering him for his sacrificial and life-giving mission. And as this happened, God the Father gave his full approval of what was happening as he proclaimed, you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. It's a lot to take in. But we know this about our God. He cares. He cares deeply for us. What else could explain his radical action in coming to us? What else does this mean when we feel alone and isolated, dirty and diseased, shunned and unwanted? It means, quite frankly, that none of these feelings are true when they are held up to the light of God's heaven and his intention. This God, in the fullness of his person, wants us. He loves us. And he is never content to do this from a distance. No latex gloves, no surgical gown, no face mask. He came willing, unprotected from our contamination, so that he might take it from us. It would cost him, but he was willing to pay the price. In the end, we can begin to see now that when Jesus stepped down into the waters of the Jordan River, he chose us. All we could do, our failures, our dissatisfaction with God's way, but he stepped down into that water and chose us anyway. His choice of us over against our unattractiveness and our inability is well illustrated by a little story told by Gerhard Ferdy in his work, Justification by Faith. It goes like this. Suppose there is a lowly peasant lad who has a secret love for a beautiful princess. It seems hopeless, a lost love. He fears he can't have her, so he only worships from afar. In his hurt, he takes steps to defend himself. He constructs a kind of defense mechanism, a kind of fictional theology. He tells himself that she is too vain for him and proud of who she is, and she's just too good for him. She consorts with all the wrong people, with princes, not with peasant lads. Yet he dreams that maybe he can make it somehow. He sets out to show her. He sets out to become rich and powerful. He plans and plots and sets ideals for himself. He dreams of himself as a potential prince. But then to top it off, he hears that she has already been predestined for someone. She has already decided the matter. That, of course, would be the last crushing blow. But he refuses to believe it and goes on doggedly pursuing his ideals and perhaps even becomes cruel and ruthless in his frustration and anger. Then suppose one fine day her royal carriage comes clattering down the road and pulls up at his door. The princess steps down and comes to him and announces, "John, what in the world are you up to? Don't you see? You are the one I have decided on. I love you and always have. Why are you making such a fool of yourself?" Now, in theology, of course, at that point we say, "Holy Spirit, the word is spoken. The royal carriage has arrived. What was hidden is revealed." Only that word, nothing else, can save from all the nonsense, all the self-imposed bondage. No theory, no amount of speculation about the princess can do it. Once the word has been spoken, he can let it all be. He can believe and love and be saved. He has new life. My friends, today, on this first Sunday in Epiphany, on the baptism of our Lord Sunday, on this Sunday, God has spoken his word to you. I choose you. I love you. I always have. God's royal carriage has arrived. Jesus has stepped out of it and stepped down into the muddy water of our sinfulness and failures. Standing there with us as our brother and our God, he says, "You are the one I have decided on. I love you, and I always have. You are mine, for I have taken your sin upon myself. I've taken it to the cross and washed it away from you with my blood. You are not alone. I am with you. You are not dirty, for I have washed you. You are not diseased, for I have healed you. You are not unwanted, for I have chosen you. I have come for you. You are my beloved." The word has been spoken. Now, with your new identity as my beloved, go in my name as my vessels. Carry my love and spirit with you to others, for this is the Father's will, and he is well pleased. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, your love is unlike anything else we can experience in this life. You know every vain, foolish, and evil thought we've ever conceived, every lustful, greedy fantasy in which we've engaged. Only you hear every grace-robbing, grandstanding, gossipy word we speak. Only you know the broken cisterns of our choices, our idols, the many things to which we turn to find somewhere else other than you. Yet you pursue us, welcome us, and love us. You are changing us by choosing us and loving us. We praise you. Amen and amen.
You
please rise? Be seated. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." God invites you now to come to his table. Come. Come and receive his goodness and mercy. Come. fed and nourished. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for choosing us, for bestowing your unconditional love upon us, granting us the forgiveness of all of our sins, giving us the sure promise of eternal life and the promise of a resurrection. Lord, what great gifts. We praise you for this. We lift up before you today those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray that this might be a week of their becoming even more aware of your choosing and loving and gifting them. And Lord, each of us walk through different worlds, but they're all broken worlds, filled with our sin and the sins of others. Sometimes the journey is difficult. And so, Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own individual journeys to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our time here this morning draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and join in singing together the Law Gospel Doxology.
Shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Good morning.